Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar has sharply criticized the Supreme Court's use of Article 142, calling it a nuclear missile against democracy, after the court directed the president on Tamil Nadu bills. Speaking today, Mr. Dhankar argued that the judiciary has overstepped its constitutional role, limited to interpreting the constitution under Article 145(3). The ruling, which cleared 10 delayed bill, has sparked debate over judicial overreach versus executive inaction.
An event happened on the night of 14th and 15th of March in New Delhi at the residence of a judge, one of our institutions to which people have looked up always with highest respect and deference, was put in the dock. It is now over a month. Even if it is can of worms, even if there are skeletons in the cupboard, time to blow up the can. Time for its lid to go out. And time for the cupboard to collapse. Let the worms and skeletons be in public domain so that cleansing takes place.
Well, joining us now, two senior Supreme Court advocates, Kapil Madan and Ashutosh Srivastava. Thank you both very much for being with us. Kapil Madan, let me come to you first. Jagdeep Dhankar calls Article 142 a nuclear missile. He says it harms democracy. The opposite view is that it's protected democracy by ensuring that bills get passed within a finite period of time. How do you look at this?
So, Vishnu, let me say this. I'm saying this with a, you know, sense of responsibility that, you know, Mr. Dhankar is holding a very, you know, high constitutional office. However, his depth of the understanding of this issue is painfully very shallow. And let me just give you an example of why I am, you know, making this kind of a remark. You may have a debate on whether the Supreme Court should have invoked Article 142 and directed the governor or the president to give assent, or you should not have done that. That's a separate, you know, independent debate. We have seen in our country that, you know, the governors have been acting illegally. We saw it in the case of Maharashtra. On record, Justice Chandrachud made a remark that the act of the governor calling upon the government to prove the majority was illegal and unconstitutional. And you have in this kind of a situation wherein the court sometimes intervene just to prevent the governor or, you know, any constitutional functionary to exceed its authority, or where he should be, you know, doing his function in aid of democracy and he fails to perform that kind of function. The fact that, you know, Justice Dhankar has connected two different incidents. One is the judgment passed by the court. The other is the issue of some, you know, where certain notes were found, and he has made scathing remarks on, you know, judiciary insofar as, you know, that incident is concerned. So what message are you giving to our countrymen? I mean, this is, you know, I personally feel this is, and I would apologize to Mr. Dhankar also, but even at the cost of that apology, I would say that the statement made by Mr. Dhankar was very, very irresponsible, especially because Mr. Dhankar was himself is a senior lawyer who has practiced constitutional law for a considerable period of time.
Ashutosh, would you, would you respond to that, that those remarks were irresponsible?
No, I see. First of all, what Mr. Dhankar has made allegation is that there has been misuse of Article 142 of the Constitution by the Supreme Court. He further says that the Supreme Court ought not to have issued directions to the President of India, you know, considering the restraints in the Constitution. He further says that, you know, what maximum a Supreme Court could have done is the interpretation of law under Article 145(3) of the Constitution, but it cannot give directions. So he means to say that if there has to be certain directions to be made or any law has to be made, if there is no clarity on certain aspect in the Constitution, let it be referred to the Parliament. Let the Parliament make laws, and this power which has been given by the Constitution to the Parliament for framing of laws should not be snatched away by the Supreme Court on these kind of issues. So far as Article 141 of the Constitution is concerned, which says that the Supreme Court can interpret laws, and when it passes laws and give certain sort of findings and interpretation, it has to be followed by the rest of the courts in the country. But it doesn't give absolute rights to the Supreme Court to frame laws, because framing of laws has to be vested with the powers of the Parliament. So this is what this I felt being said.
Is this about framing of laws, or is it about implementation of laws?
Yes. See, implementation of law is where there is complete clarity in the law, and the Supreme Court can make interpretation if there is no clarity on the law. Now, when he says that the governor should give assent within 3 months, so it has to be, should be decided by the parliament. Let it be made laws by the, made a law by the parliament. This is what he tried to say.
All right. Let me get Kapil to respond to that, one point. Respond. Ashutosh makes a significant point when he says that that 3 month limit or that guideline has to be decided by parliament, not a judge or judges.
Vishnu, we have precedents where there is no law. For the time being, Supreme Court has, intervened and have invoked 142 and for the time being has framed the law. Now, the most surprising, issue in this entire case is Mr. Dhankar doesn't say that the fact that the governor is withholding, the bills and he is not, passing, any either he is not approving or either he is not disapproving. Mr. Governor is not commenting on Mr. Dhankar is not commenting on that. Whether that exercise of power, or I would say non-exercise of power, is legal or illegal. He is not commenting on that, which is the most surprising point. My point here is that if there is a constitutional functionary who is supposed to act, if he is not acting, what the Supreme Court has done, Supreme Court has given a time frame guideline under 142 to say that you please act within so and so period of time. Now, you don't say this direction, the act of the governor staying on the bills is illegal. So what you are saying is now the court should not have done it. Now, at the same time, If you find logic in the Supreme Court's decision, which I find it very, very logical and rational, you can make a corresponding law. Who's stopping you? You have done that. In fact, when the Delhi government was fighting with the central government on the appointment of officers, there was a Supreme Court judgment in favor of Delhi government. They passed the law.
Right. Oh, so no again, that's an important point. So yeah. Again, Ashutosh, on that technicality, Kapil's point that a judge can make a decision if there is a problem with that and a law needs to be enacted, let it be enacted by Parliament subsequently.
I feel this matter could have been referred to the Parliament, and if it was not done within a time frame, then Supreme Court could have intervened. Now, when we see, Section 124, if you see in IPC earlier, the matter of sedition was also referred to the Parliament. The Supreme Court said, no, let it be first referred to the Parliament. Let's have the view of the people of this country, because parliamentarians are representing the people of this country. They are the democratic representatives of the people. So let them first decide. If there is any further clarity or interpretation required of the law, then the further Supreme Court will come and it will intervene. So let it be represented by the Attorney General of the country, who will represent the government of India, and it will submit its report based on that, or maybe the affidavit or its recommendation. Based on that, the Supreme Court will proceed. So this could have been followed. And now what Mr. Dhankar further says, that when there are serious allegations, about that notes which were found before the Justice House, why the Supreme Court did not take immediate actions in those kind of matters, why the FIR was not registered, why there was no proper investigation in this matter. So this is what he's referring.
No, I think
why
that's an important point. Elections? And I'm wrapping this up because I'm out of time, but I do believe that when it comes to accountability, particularly on the issue of judges, then perhaps a great deal more needs to have been done. But we've looked at various aspects, Section Article 142, Article 145.3, and this battle between the executive and the judiciary, where is it all headed?